There's nothing more inspirational than to go to the Bible. And so here we are in John chapter 12. We already know what's happened. We know that Jesus has shown himself to be God. He has healed people. He's healed a guy who was blind from birth, and he has raised Lazarus from the dead. And now we have, and we'll touch on this very powerful passage in chapter 12. And Jesus, therefore, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they made him a supper there, and Martha was serving, but Lazarus was one who reclining at the table with him. Mary therefore took a pound of very costly, genuine spikenard ointment, and anointed his feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of this ointment. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples who was intending to betray him, said, "Why was this ointment not sold for 100 denarii and given to the poor people?" Now, he said this not because he was concerned about the poor, but because he was a thief, and as he had the money box, he used to pilfer what was put into it. Jesus therefore said, "Let her alone, in order that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For the poor you'll always have with you, but you shall not always have me." Other Gospels has this, and it says, "And what she has done will tell the whole world." I mean, it'll be told from time and time and time and time again. There was a sense here of extravagant love poured out in worship towards Jesus. Now, Martha was worshiping in a way. She was serving a meal, the hospitality. A lot of people in that room at the time coming by to check out Lazarus. Why? Because miracles were happening. People wanted to come and check it out. So much so, the religious leaders at the time didn't like it. You know, people were more excited about Jesus than they were excited about the old system to think. But in the midst of all that, Mary does something that will be remembered, and we're told would be remembered, and preached and taught and proclaimed and encouraged in the church, saying, she has done something extravagant. Now here's a challenge I want to put out to all of us. If you are a believer in Christ, if you have received the Lord as your Lord and Savior, you've become a follower of Jesus, then it's my prayer that for all of us that we would determine in our life to do something extravagant for the Lord. I don't really want to live a life at the end of it, say, "Boy, what if I would have done this?" You know? What if? Well, what if I would have used my monies this way, or my energies this way, or if I would have just said this? I don't want to live that way. I know you don't either. I can think of no greater thing to do than to pour my life into God's church, God's people. And so that's why we're here today. We're here and part of a church, part of the body of Christ, because we want to do something extravagant for the Lord, don't we? A lot of other people there, some were around that table, they had mixed motives. Judas had some, he was there, wasn't he? He was there to pilfer. You know. I just know how it is. I've known people in churches, they were just there to get and never give. Hope that's not any of us. On Sunday morning, the one who should be getting is the Lord, right? We're here to worship him. So thank you. And there was, people were singing and raising their hands and they were praying. And this all for the Lord. It's our opportunity to do something extravagant for him. And collectively as a church, that's what we believe we can do. Individually, but more powerfully, collectively, Lord, is there something that you have for us to do here? Excuse me. And I believe he does. I believe the history of Lake Mendocino County is this, is that churches that have gone on wild rides, ups and downs, like the waves of the sea, like the rise and fall of empires, except for they only last a couple years. It's my prayer as a church that we can be on the same path with the same vision, the same spirit, knit together for a long time. And in doing that, the Lord, I believe, will do things in our midst that this neck of the woods maybe has never seen. Not because we're something special, because we're not. We just determined this day, or even before this day, that Lord, we want to do something extravagant for you because you're worthy of it. Part of it has to do with the vision that we have of how our church sees itself. I believe that God has given gifts. We find that very clearly in the book of Ephesians. He gave gifts to every person in the church. Those gifts are meant to manifest the totality of who Jesus is. So the leadership gifts are there to provide an umbrella. And I'll have that first slide come on. Come up. Got my pointer here, laser pointer. So here's the first. See this umbrella. Hopefully it'll work. There it is. Umbrella. Here we want to make an environment where good things can happen. I like the fact that we have this tent out in front. It's a lot easier to sit there and enjoy some coffee and a little something. We had some heaters out there the other day, too. When it's raining or when it's 120 degrees, it's creating environment. But within the church, not just this building, within the body and the structure where no matter where we live, whether we're meeting here or elsewhere, we have this umbrella saying, Lord, we want to create an environment where you can work in our midst. And here's how we do that. So the next slide is the work of elders, is setting a vision, coordinating, communicating, shepherding, guiding, and guarding the church, creating environment for positive spiritual environment, leadership development, long-range planning, special committees, teams, membership, word, and prayer. That's what the elders do. So if you're an elder here today, or have ever been an elder in this church, I want you to stand up. All right? Stand up. Once were or ever was. So, okay. Can't do it without it. Thank you, guys. All right. Now, the next line is this. Here's what we're trying to do, is keep the mission in front of the congregation, to know Christ and make him known, priorities to love God and love people, purposes of worship, discipleship, fellowship, service, and mission. You know, it's not an accident that every Sunday we say we're here to love God, love people, right? You know why? Because we're not very bright sometimes. I'm not. So if I forget, then I'm just trying to remind myself, and maybe it'll help you guys too. We're here to love God and love people. It's pretty simple. And that's how we're going to measure ourselves, and that is going to be the litmus test. So if I'm saying something, boy, is that something that would evoke loving God? Or if I'm saying something to Jack, I'll pick on Jack, he's right there. Boy, is that loving Jack? So that's how we do it. We move on here. We have a staff of pastors, we have elders, and we have a staff underneath that to help make that happen. Okay? That's working with gifts. And underneath that, here's the interesting thing. Current number of different people ministered to under this umbrella. At Sunday morning services, Sunday school, Awana, Refuge, home groups, affinity groups, and Casa de Luz is this. About 650 souls weekly. That seems like a lot of people, but it's not. It's only 1% of the county's population. So praise God, there's other churches in this county that love the Lord, preach the word, are discipling people, love God, and love others. We ought to be doing everything we can do to pray for them, encourage them, get them going, or we'll partner with them because we can't do it alone. But even if all of them were running on all cylinders right now, 90% of the people have no contact with the church. And here's what I want to say. Lord, do you think that you could make our umbrella bigger? Because if the churches don't determine, Lord, would you make our umbrella bigger? Then what happens to the 90%? I guess there's just no room on the boat. It's like the Titanic was sinking. You know, the half of the lifeboats were only half full. Only one of them went back to try to get more people. Now that was vision. You see, praise God, that's a lot of people, and that's why we need a lot of people helping out. But it's just scratching the surface of saying, Lord, I pray for your kingdom to come and your will to be done. Well, what do we mean by that? We pray for God's kingdom to come to Lake County. Jesus to be manifest in every man, woman, and child, that they would know him and have that opportunity to hear about him clearly. And I definitely don't want to trust it to the mass media. I praise God for people like Charles Stanley. I think he's a great guy. I'm glad that people can watch him on television. But you know what? There's probably more people watching Charles Stanley on television than actually going to church in Lake County. So I praise God that they have that input. But what they need to be is a part of a church that says, you know, Lord, by your grace, grant us a larger umbrella. These people need you. Okay, next slide. Okay, our church operates this way. We have right now, and we may add to it or subtract, but probably not. These are what we're doing. First one is this, administration. That's all these different things of monies and maintenance and insurance and purchasing and all that stuff. Doesn't sound like a lot of fun, but some of you love that stuff. All right? If you've been involved with admin or helping to keep this place clean or vacuumed or building stuff within the last year, if you could put your hand up, all right? All right? Team of people, thank you so much, all right? I'm going to tell you, there's a lot more to do. It is fairly complicated because there's, you know, we just sent a bunch of kids off to acquire the fire. That costs money. And so they're raising money. We got budget money and stuff, and that's all good. It all really depends upon that God has put into our hands time, talent, and treasures. And I want to thank you for those who are tithers. I believe it's a biblical standard. It's not a legalistic standard, but we give the first fruits back to the Lord. So let me encourage you to keep doing that. Next team is this. Is the worship team. And they were doing a fantastic job this morning. If the last year you in any way, shape, or form helped in the technical side or up here on front or were an usher or something, raise your hand. Okay? All right. Praise the Lord for that. Now, as we continue to grow, we may need to add additional services. Well, where would we do that? Well, we may have to figure out other places to do that. Well, one of the places that we're going to have to probably expand, that already services are taking place, but they're taking place in a place that's a little bit, it's a terrible place to try to have a service, and that's over in the gym. So what we'll be doing this year, prayerfully, is moving forward with a remodel of the gym, a gymnasium carpet that you can bounce balls on. It's bomb-proof and stain-proof and everything else. It will make the sound in there better. We have sound baffling that will go up on the walls. We'll have it repainted in there. We have a very select color committee, top secret. Anyway, we'll replace some of the tiles that are all stained. We'll put a sound system and video system, and we'll air condition the place. One of the reasons why is because our great ministry that partners with us, Costa de Luz, right now, they're pushing 100 people. Interesting enough, they had as many people on Good Friday as we did in their service. And if in the next 20 years, potentially half of the population of Lake County will be Latino, we better be on top of that one. We got to make sure that they have that not only them, but ourselves have a place to worship. If we continue to grow and we expand the umbrella, probably have to push that wall out a little bit and get a couple seats there. But then we could pick up 500 seats next door if it's a proper place to worship. Moving on, next group. Missions. We are not just called them to reach Lake County, but we're called to reach the world. And so we are encouraging and raising up people to do that. And so around the world, and we try to give them, as they come into town, opportunities to share. Next week, we have the great blessing to have the Zimmermans in from Alaska. They are there because we are helping to send them and help them make it happen there, whether it be in Alaska or others in India or South America. If you've been involved in any way, shape, or form with the missions committee or helping missions or providing food for the missionaries when they're in the town, raise your hand. All right? All right, I can tell you, we need more help with that because it's a very important aspect of the church. Next. It's children's ministry, all the stuff. It's Awana, it's Vacation Bible School. Scores and scores of kids who came to Christ last year. We have now Sunday school. Some of you have been teaching Sunday school for 20 plus years. I've met people who've taught Sunday school for 60 years. Well, praise the Lord. That's your gift. You're planting the seeds of eternity in the hearts of children. I can't think of a more important thing to do. So we want to expand. If we continue to expand, bigger umbrella, we may need to have Sunday school the second service. We don't know. We have to think about outside the box. If you've been involved in any way, shape, or form, whether it was Sunday school teacher, Awana worker, a VBS worker, something, in the last year, raise your hand. Look at that. What an army of people. Thank you. Excuse me. This summer we're having VBS. It'll be a giant circus theme. This whole place turned into a circus. I love it. All right? Big tent, probably monkeys and stuff everywhere. Who knows? Elephants? Probably not elephants. With the insurance, wouldn't let that probably go by. But, you know, it's like last year. We walked in. Right in the middle was what?
Tree.
Giant monkey tree. It looked like I was in Disneyland. You know what it spoke to me? It said, if someone cares that much about the kids to knock themselves out to build a tree like that, then something's going on here. So thank you for that. Thank you. So next year and this year, as you're at, boy, we need more help with the Awana and stuff, you get to be part of a great team. Youth ministry, just got back from a choir of the fire. Kids coming to the Lord, a place where they can belong. Got Chris on the campuses and different things, and we're desiring in the year to come to also expand and have a ministry to college and career age. So if you've been involved with that ministry, with helping out with our youth in any way, shape, or form, giving them a rise, being part of the staff, please raise your hand, please. Great. Many of them are over in Sunday school. And the last, adult ministry. Whole bunch of stuff. Men's, women's, young married, senior adults, home study, discipleship, fuel for life, Bible studies, retreats, best half. The highlight of your Christian life is not in the youth group. I'll guarantee it. The highlight of your Christian life ought to be tomorrow or right now. We need to be able to let our kids know that when they get out of the youth group, the sad commentary is that anywhere from 75% of the kids who grow up in evangelical church youth groups, they stop going to church when they get into college. That's terrible. Well, I like to reverse that. I want them to know that the greatest years ahead with Christ are the next years. And so we have adult ministries and outreach and trying to impact who we are. If you've been involved with any form of men's ministry, women's ministry, adult ministry of any kind, raise your hand. All right. Now, if you've been involved with all of this stuff, a lot of stuff, any of that, raise your hand. All right. Now, the issue is that as you expand, here's what I want. I don't want you to do more. Don't. We just want more people to do. Okay. Catch the vision. Next slide. All right. Now, this is complicated, but I did this even though I was sick on Friday. You need to understand this because this is how your pastor sees the church. Here's the first one. Here's the church, Christ's church. We worship, we disciple, we fellowship, mission, and our service and mission. Our mission is evangelism here and around the world, okay? We're here to celebrate, celebration, that's all of us. A congregation, that means we have multiple services. We have a congregation now, a congregation that will meet an hour from now, congregation that met on Saturday night, the Latinos, and we have a Sunday night. So we have a lot of different people, and then we also have cells, small groups of people that are meeting. Now, if you've been involved regularly in any kind of a small group, that's a group smaller than a regular service. That could be best half, could be a home group, could be a men's or women's Bible study, could be a mom's group, or whatever. Raise your hand. Okay, that's good. Why? Because you got to get bit. As you get bigger, you got to get smaller at the same time, or you'll get lost. It's not just for you, but we need each other. So I want to thank the guys that are part of my Friday morning, it's not mine, it's our Friday morning Bible study. Why would I get up and be there 6:30 in the morning when I didn't feel good on Friday? Not because I need to prove anything. I don't. And the guys would say, I'll stay home. I need that time. Why? Because that's when I'm just one of the guys. And we need to have that sense of the connection where I can encourage them and they can encourage me. Okay? Moving on. The church, those two things, next thing. Next. And next. There you go. Is a service. We use Ephesians, use our shape, our spiritual gifts, our heart, our abilities, our personality, and our life experiences shape us. We all find our place of service within God's kingdom. We have to reverse the fact that typical church, 20% of the people do 80% of the work. We need to reverse that. We all have our spot. The next thing we do as a church, we multiply. 2 Timothy 2:2. These things that have been entrusted to you, you entrust to faithful people who can entrust them to others also. So many of us, we're here because someone passed the ball on to us, right? Somebody showed us how to teach or how to disciple or how to lead worship or whatever it may be. So we have to be a church that we're faithfully passing it on, because it's clear that Christianity is always one generation away from extinction. If we don't pass it on, you know, God didn't give the job to angels, he gave it to us. Now here's the next thing we go, is the issue of outreach. Acts 1:8, power is given to us to become witnesses. And Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, remotest parts of the planet. And so we do that. We have outreach things. And then the other thing we have is the issue of pool of humanity, where we are salt and light. Salt of the earth and light of the world. Now, this, well, Gary, this is too obvious. Why are you wasting our time? I'm not. This is how the church is supposed to work. Here's the next slide. They are just supposed to come and see your life. Hang out with them. Go fishing with them. Go bowling. Have a barbecue. Hang out with people. They see Jesus in your life. And when their life and the questions of life come up, you're right there to give it to answer and be part and share with them the full gospel. If we're not involved with people's lives, the rest of it won't work. So now outreach is come and hear. Now we're actually inviting them to come. Hear about Christ. Okay? Next. Come and worship. You're actually, now you're a Christian. You're here. Hey, we're going to worship Jesus without, we're not going to ever stop worshiping Jesus. We're not going to decide, well, we're not going to do Christian songs. We're all going to do secular songs, because that's what the people out in Lake County really like. Answer is, they may like it, but that's not what they need. They need to worship the Lord. Next thing is this, is to come and serve. And I think this, many people don't serve because they don't think anybody wants them to. It's like breaking into a bank. Well, hey, I'm throwing it out there. We need your help. We need you, because God created you and gave you gifts. You're a missing piece of the puzzle. And the last one is come and bear fruit. To be a fruitful Christian. The legacy should be, you ought to be pouring your life into others. But I want to tell you, here's the next slide, arrow coming down. The church ought to be reaching down into the pool of humanity. It's like a well, okay? And then from that, the next one is that people come. And here's what I know. God has placed within the hearts of people a knowledge of himself. The Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. All we have to do is be salt and light, be involved. The world they live in is a warfare for their soul, and we are there at the right time to bear witness of Christ. The Holy Spirit does His work. Evangelism is taking the opportunity and the power of the Holy Spirit to share Jesus Christ, and then we leave the results to God. You can't make anyone be a Christian. You just be a faithful witness. So that's what we see. But unfortunately, this is how most churches operate. Next one. Oh, they throw the top one and the bottom one off. They do outreach, but they haven't reached deep enough into the pool of humanity. They don't know any non-Christians. Or the non-Christians they know are already scared off. And so churches spend a lot of money doing outreach, and the only people who actually show up are other Christians. So it's good, but don't call it outreach, call it fellowship. And then the top here is that there's nobody new into the system. Said, well, why should I pass the ball on? I just want to drop the ball. And here's the attitude of this. Well, I've paid my dues, I did my stuff, you know, somebody else's turn now. Well, says who? Jesus is the Lord. Now, I'm 53 right now, and here's what I want to do. I want to go out swinging, all right? And I want to, along the way, encourage as many young men and women to follow the Lord and serve the Lord. You got to hand the ball off. But most churches operate, in fact, I would say this, is they out of guilt, they do outreach, and out of guilt, they do service. And people walk into that church and go, why would I want to raise my family here? Why would I want to be part of this? What? That doesn't seem like a very good umbrella to me. So what ends up happening, you get 20%, maybe 10% of the people doing 90% of the work, and they all die off, or they get tired, and they get sick, and there's no one to do it. And then someone's guilted into doing it. Friends, there shouldn't be doing anything by guilt. God, I'd be out of the passionate love as Mary poured out that ointment and wiped Jesus' feet with her hair. Jesus didn't tell her to do that. It came from her heart. And that's where our service ought to be. Let's put these other ones back then. So as a church, we're going to be committed to the pool of humanity. That doesn't mean we sell out anything. And if you go to the world and you act like the world, you're blowing it. Okay? Hear it? Very theological. You go into the world and you act like the world, you're blowing it. You're supposed to be salt and light. That doesn't mean you're supposed to be like holier than thou, but you're supposed to be holy. You got to get there involved with people. And people want to get involved because they're lonely. And then as we do outreach, then we're outreaching to people that we've already planted seeds with. And that's how it works. Now, I have some what-ifs for the next year. First one. Oh, here we go. Oh, back up. Sorry. Can you do that? Built on our priorities, love God, love people, and our mission to know Christ and to make Him known. Now, you're only going to see this if you're in a new members class, you'll see this because this is what we teach. You're only going to see this once a year because I just want to bring us back to it. This is how we work as a church. We're salt and light. We reach out to people. We worship the Lord. We serve one another and our King, and we multiply ourselves by passing it on to faithful people. And God does the rest. If He doesn't show up, then it's all for nothing. But I have to tell you, in the last year, by God's grace, He's been here. And I'm humbled by it, aren't you? It brings me to tears. It makes me tingle that God has so loved us that He said, okay, sounds good. You got it. Okay? Now here's some what ifs. What if we ask God to trust us with a double portion? Wow, we got 650 people. We say, okay, God, trust us with a double portion. Well, I would pray the same for every church in Lake County. Okay? So if every church in Lake County said, oh, Lord, trust us with a double portion, then it wouldn't take too long before we pretty much saturated the gospel with people of the gospel. I can't make another church have that as a vision, but I believe that can be our vision. Lord, give us a double portion. So is that even possible? Instead of dealing with hundreds of people, we're dealing with thousands of people. We have to do it. It's not even a question. If we just, oh Lord, here we are. Expand our horizons. Give us a bigger umbrella. But the only way it works is we go back to that pyramid. We got to reach out to people. We bring them the gospel. We are a functioning church where we're worshiping and fellowshipping and we're serving, and we have a dynamic vision where we're also being discipled in the Lord. We're serving the Lord and one another, and we're multiplying ourselves, and we leave it in God's hands. But many, many times in Scripture, people ask, oh Lord, give me a double portion. Not doing it selfishly. It's my prayer that every church in Lake County would have such a vision. You know, I don't really expect people from Lake Pillsbury to drive all the way here, but you know what? There's people in Lake Pillsbury. Where do they go to church? Most of them drive to Potter Valley or drive over to Upper Lake. That's no fun. We ought to figure out, maybe we ought to have some people who are preachers. They go over once and on a rotating schedule, set up a church in Potter and, you know, some kind of thing in Lake Pillsbury. We got to be thinking outside the box. So, next. What if we surrender to God without reservation our time, our talents, and our treasures? We got to do that. It's the Lord. When we are determining spending our time, does the Lord have the best of our time? Does he have the best of our talents? Oh, there's so many people up there singing and so on and so forth. They don't need me. You know what? Yeah, we do. There's plenty of places. Or they have enough resources. They don't need mine. Yes, we do. And there are times where, boy, and I know it's a step of faith. I mean, because God, who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, he could just sell a whole bunch of them and just dump the money, you know, in a big pile out in front of the church. He doesn't do it that way. He does that through our lives. And so we are open to say, Lord, use me in that way. Next. We all pray daily for his kingdom to come and his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's his will and not ours. That may mean that, boy, things are, I mean, if we ask for a double portion, that means that, well, we'll probably need to get this gym taken care of and probably need to have more parking and probably need more teachers and more classroom space. We could just say it's just too much trouble, really. You know, it is a lot of trouble. Just not do it. But we're not praying that way. We're saying, Lord, for your kingdom to come and your will to be done. Next. We stayed united through thick and thin. Amen?
Amen.
Hear another amen.
Amen.
All right, because I've been in churches. I remember the first time I went to an annual business meeting at a church. It was a quarterly business meeting. There's two grown men who I thought loved the Lord quite a bit. They were fighting about some budget thing. They were yelling at each other. I thought, that's interesting. You know? I've known other churches, they split because someone didn't like the color of the seats they chose. Friends, when all else fails, take a big step back, pray, and then go to that person and say, let's sort this out. That's what you do. If there's something going on that you don't understand, please seek me out. Don't write it anonymously, because that's not really effective, right? I wasn't raised that way. You got something to say, then just write it down and we'll work it out. Talk to the elders, whatever. But through thick and thin. And the devil's going to test us on that. He doesn't want us united. Next. We show people the real Jesus, both personally and collectively. The real Jesus. Not the Jesus of Madison Avenue or Hollywood, but the Jesus who died on the cross, rose from the dead, and is alive and well right now, who can bring hope and peace and salvation to any heart and home. Next. We gave God all the glory, every bit of it. So anyway, if the Lord said, okay, Lord, grant us a double portion. We'd like to reach more people. Pray that for the other churches in this county also. Help us to be a blessing to them. Well, what if that happens? Oh, we pat ourselves on the back. Look how great we are. No. We're just being obedient servants. but we'll give God all the glory. Next. We live each week like it was our last. Like it was our last. Don't hold back. You know, I praise God. The Lord took my father-in-law home. You know, I'm glad he knew the Lord. But the fact is in our own lives, let's serve him like it was our last. And lastly, that we brought hope with us everywhere we went. What if we brought hope with us everywhere we went? We have these little bookmarks. We'll do more. We'll do shirts. We'll do whatever. Here's what I want you to do. Everywhere you go this year, everywhere you go, whether you're around your table at home, you're at work, you're at the store, you're at the soccer field, you're out on the lake, wherever you're at, bring hope. You bring Jesus, you bring hope. Well, that's what the Lord wants to do. Last year, there was about 40 people baptized. Scores more than that received Christ as a personal Lord and Savior. I've seen in lives of people growing, people coming up with ideas of, hey, boy, here's this thought. You think we could do this? And I greatly appreciate, I haven't had many people come and say, hey, Pastor, I got this great idea for something for you to do. All right? I appreciate that, but I got my own list. And so does my wife. Got a nice list. So I'm not really interested in the list you have for me. That if you have that, give it to the elders, and then they'll keep me in line. I'm more interested in what God has put on your heart to do for his kingdom. Let's think outside the box. It may not be this year, but it'll be sometime. God has laid on your hearts, not just mine, not just the elders, to do great things. That's how we're going to crack the nut of Lake County. That's where we're going to make this place a hard place for people to go to hell. Because they're going to say, you know what? I heard about Jesus and there's hope.